Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, U-N-I-F-Y-D, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
What is up, Nets fans? Welcome to a Brooklyn Buzz. I'm your host, Nick Fay. With me, as always, Jack Manuel. Jack, how we doing?
Free agency's coming.
Yes, it's about to be here this upcoming weekend. You know, we're pumped. We'll be doing a live show on the NBA outlet, breaking it down at 6 p.m. on Sunday. But we're talking Nets, previewing free agency, guys on contract, guys coming off contract, salary cap, and possible acquisitions they can make. But as always, check us out, iTunes, Block Talk Radio, OTGBasketball.com, Google Play, Dash Radio, and YouTube. But Jack, let's get into guys that are not going to be on the Nets books next year. They're free agents, you know, either meaning that the Nets could re-sign them or they're good to go.
So who are we talking about first?
Let's just go down the list. You know, obviously, let's go with we'll go price range. Damari Carroll, obviously at $15 million, he's going to be a free agent. What do you think? Is he going to be back with the Nets this upcoming season?
I think that there is a likelihood that it could be. But for me, it's almost 50-50, maybe 40-60 that he isn't. There's so much money around the NBA right now. Damari Carroll fits a lot of NBA teams like a glove. Sort of in that veteran role, guy can hit a few shots, guy can be a real veteran locker room presence, a better version of Jared Dudley, a better version of Vince Carter. I think a lot of teams would want him in a lot of different situations. He obviously has ties to the Brooklyn Nets, so if we were to get him, and you know, maybe as just a guy to fill out the roster a little bit as a guy coming off the bench, I think he'd be incredibly valuable. But there'll be some money out there for him.
Yeah, I think that's what it's going to come down to. I think a team will probably offer him more money than what the Nets can offer him, especially if some of these star rumors become true. They won't really have the type of money to throw at him. I think he could probably even get, you know, maybe the mid-level exception from somebody, but definitely the taxpayer mid-level exception. So I'd say Damari, I'd give him maybe a 25% chance of being back.
And for those that don't know, Nick, what is generally the taxpayer and the mid-level around? Is it 3 to 5 million? That's the number?
So the non-taxpayer mid-level exception, I believe, is $8.4 million. And yep. Then the taxpayer mid-level exception is $5.3
million.
Okay. So just to throw it out there, teams can split that up and use it on two different players. It's not like that's allocated for one contract.
Yep. So obviously, you know, I think that Damari Carroll will probably get the taxpayer. I reckon he'll probably get a five. For me, a number that I think just sort of sticks out is 3 years, $15 million. I think that would be something that he would want. You know, just sort of as a last contract heading into where he would probably get into vet minimum in the later point of his career. But, you know, there'll be something out there for him.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's the most likely scenario. Maybe a team might offer a little bit more if it's just a 1 or 2 year deal, but yeah. We'll see what happens to Damari. It's an interesting thing. He's obviously up there in age, but we know what he can bring to a team. You know, one team that I've talked to some people about that would make a lot of sense would Damari Carroll to New Orleans, because he would just be the perfect type of veteran for that culture with all those young guys.
They're going to become my second favorite team for so many ways. Zionology, by the way, guys, designtree.com, dsgntree.com.
Shirts are fire. Zion's fire. We already love him. He hasn't even played a game in the NBA. But back to the Nets. Next guy who was a free agent, Jared Dudley, made $9.5 million. Obviously not going to get that. What do you think are his chances of being back with Brooklyn next year?
I mean, if it were up to Brooklyn Nets fans, it would be like, keep him more than any other player. We want him to annoy Ben Simmons for the next 82 games and hopefully longer. I think that there's a lot at a vet minimum. You know, I think that Jared Dudley would like to stay in Brooklyn. He seems to love the city. Love the guys around him. I think he'd be the perfect sort of locker room guy for, you know, in the Kyrie Irving sort of situation. Kyrie sort of said, you know, he wants those sort of dudes who have been around the ways a little bit. So I would like to keep one or two of these veterans in the locker room. And I would not hate Jared Dudley. I think he's got a little bit left in the tank. You know, give him 10, 15 minutes a night. Give him a couple of nights off here and there. A guy coming off the bench, maybe he can give you some spurts. And a guy who's just really, really smart and is a great teammate. So, but there'll be so many other teams due to his strong Twitter game. His Twitter game is going to get him an extra $1 million or an extra year from someone, probably.
It really could. I honestly like his likelihood of coming back to the Nets more than Damari or Ed Davis because of his price tag. Jared Dudley, I think, would be the most likely to come back as like a vet minimum contract or something, where I could even see Jared Dudley signing a 1 or 2 year deal and at the end of that deal moving into the Nets front office or coaching staff, because he's had such a positive impact with helping them develop players pretty much with the leadership standpoint.
Yeah, and I mean, obviously, I think that he's more likely to move into a possible media role than possible front office role. But I think that he has such a high intelligence on and off the court that he could do whatever he wants. And it'll be interesting to see where he ends up. But it'll be fun. Hopefully, we see him in 2019-20 in the black and white.
Yeah, I agree. And I think it would be important, especially when you're bringing new guys. This is a guy that understands what Kenny and Sean want to do in terms of culture and kind of help set that tone and keep things positive, even if he's not playing any minutes. So I'd be pretty happy to see him back. I don't really care if he plays on the court a lot next offseason. I think his off-the-court impact, when we saw the original acquisition of him, kind of stuck out. So hopefully they can keep him.
Ed Davis next, Nick?
Yeah, let's go with Big Ed. Obviously, you know, Ed killed his contract last year, only $4.4 million, and he was just huge, one of the best backup bigs in the NBA. I put it at probably like a 5% chance he'd be back with the Nets. That, I think the only way I see him back with the Nets is if they strike out and they have the extra money.
Well, it's literally what he told Michael Scott of The Athletic. His priorities: first is the money, then two is the fit. And then if it's a playoff team or a non-playoff team, an old or young team, whatever fits best for you. The last thing, I guess, is the city. But for sure, a guy like me, it's definitely the money for sure. A lot of guys won't say it, but trust me, 99.9% of the guys, it's about money. Just like for your job, you're going where the money is at. And I don't blame him. He deserves to get paid. I don't think the Nets are going to pay him. I mean, if we do strike out in some form or another, I wouldn't hate paying a guy like Ed Davis. He's built such great rapport within the Nets organizations and as a whole. One of the best free agent signings of last offseason, and you know, one of the best free agent signings the Nets have ever had. I wish Ed well in wherever he goes. I think that a lot of teams, as a backup big, you can do no worse than adding a guy like him. And with plenty of teams having some cap space, I wish Ed well. It almost seems fait accompli that he'll be on a different team and outside of the Brooklyn borough.
Yeah, and I think a guy in Ed's situation who hasn't necessarily made a ton of money in his NBA career, it makes a lot of sense for him to get more money, especially probably his last good contract he's going to get. You know, he was underpaid last season. Like you said, it'll be Ed Davis fans moving forward, whatever team he signs with.
Absolutely.
Now, we got D'Angelo Russell. We don't really have to chat much about him because you could check out all the previous buzzes. He's been a topic for pretty much the last month. But any other thoughts you want to get out on him? Obviously, restricted free agent, you know, has the cap hold the Nets will likely renounce when they go after trying to sign Kyrie and KD. I doubt they renounce it until they actually have confirmation.
Yeah, I mean, that there are certain dates that are worth keeping an eye on in that sort of sense. I think Nets Daily has a sort of date deadline to keep an eye on. They provide some great information in that. But his cap hold is a little bit over $21 million, so it is a large one. Obviously, there'll be teams throwing some restricted offer sheets at him in some sort of way. Obviously, Kyrie Irving and the rest. But again, we go in depth on that on the last free agency preview and plenty of other free agency previews in the Brooklyn Buzz as well.
Yeah, and just if they haven't listened, what's the percentage you think D'Angelo's back with the Nets?
Did I say 18%?
Yeah, you did. I said 20. So we're pretty much eye to eye on that. Obviously, we wish D'Angelo the best, but if the Nets are looking to upgrade and get some stars, it might mean letting him go. And he's done a lot for the franchise, and we'll appreciate that. Rondé Hollis-Jefferson, who we also touched on some previous shows, you know, restricted free agents. The Nets already, I believe, renounced his rights. So they didn't even send a qualifying offer for Rondé. So
It is the end of his tenure in Brooklyn. We spoke about him in real glowing terms, and he deserves all the praise that he got. Sort of the first guy, the longest tenured net in terms of his time with the Brooklyn Nets organization. We're certainly going to be following him for many years in this NBA. I've said that before. We wish him all the success, and he doesn't need it. He's going to be a guy that's around this league for a long time. And I sincerely believe that because he does have a skill set that I think a lot of teams will value, especially in the modern NBA.
100%. We love Rondé. And then in terms of other free agents, we got Theo Pinson, Alan Williams.
I think that a lot of it will depend on, we'll see a lot of these confirmations come July 1st, come June 30th, 6 p.m., where we get all these confirmations around who we sign, who we don't sign, Shabazz Napier, all the Trevion Graham, all those sort of guys. It'll be interesting to see because Theo is one of the best dancers, had some of the best reactions and meme reactions. I remember when we were at the New Orleans Pelicans game afterwards, we went on Twitter and Anthony Davis had a 2029 and Theo Pinson turned himself into a meme just seeing the reaction to that stat line. Theo's awesome.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind seeing Theo back. Obviously, it's going to be more of a money thing. The Nets probably could get him cheap. And then in terms, like you mentioned, Shabazz and Trevion Graham, non-guaranteed contracts. Likely the Nets would have to waive those contracts if they're landing the two big fish in Kyrie and KD. And then the Nets are getting the rest of their cap space. Obviously Dwight Howard buyout, Kenneth Reed buyout. Darren Williams, sadly, is still in the books next year for $5.4 million.
God. How long is that left of that, by the way? Do you know?
Just next year. Next year.
Then we don't have to talk about DeRon Williams, Darren, whatever your freaking name is for the thank you. Just go.
Exactly. So that's where we're at in terms of free agents and non-guaranteed contracts. And the maximum amount of cap space via Keith Smith, you can find him on Twitter, $68.6 million. Obviously, they can move some other contracts. They want to get more. Projected cap space if they do not renounce D'Angelo's rights is $48.5
million. So there's plenty of money available for the Brooklyn Nets. And there's plenty of money available for a lot of other teams, but they're not the Brooklyn Nets, baby.
Yeah, I think the Nets are top three. I think the only team that I believe has more money than them is the Knicks. Yeah. And the Knicks obviously did not have the same success the Nets had last year. A couple teams can make moves to get close. The Clippers have enough. They can move Gallinari, I believe, to get a lot closer because they're at 57 max cap space right now, and Gallinari makes a good chunk of change. So other teams can get up there, but the Nets are in a really good position considering the players they have under contract.
We certainly, certainly are.
And just to throw this out there, if I'm completely understanding the salary cap correctly, which is probably one of the most difficult things to understand, the Nets will have a room exception, which is around $4 million after they spend their cap space to sign another free agent. So if they sign Kyrie and KD, they'll still have that. And then we mentioned they still have the trade exception from the Taurean Prince deal as well.
So that means, Nick, that you can get a player on a $4 million deal 1 year, or can you get him for an extended period?
I believe it. I think the long term is 2 years. I'm not 100% sure. You would have to check that out at either like NBA.com or like HoopsRumor.com. Usually have the info on that. Not a walking encyclopedia on salary cap stuff yet.
You are trying. Closest thing to it at OTG Basketball. That's for sure.
So, and in $4 million could get you a solid bench player or a solid veteran possibly that could really help your team. So it'd be interesting to see what the Nets do with that or what they do with the trade exception. And they don't have to use the entire trade exception. It's not like they have to take a $15 million contract. It could be less money and bring that player in. And with Joseph Tsai and Prokhorov, the Nets will be willing to probably pay the tax if they were to go over that line, which they'd still have to do a lot more things to get there.
Yeah, and I mean, obviously, we've paid into the luxury tax before when we wanted to be a contender in the Paul Pierce KG era, DeRon Williams era. I hate mentioning his name.
he's got mentioned more on this show than he probably has the entire season.
it's like Lord Voldemort. It's just got the. but yeah, it'll be interesting to see. Obviously, there's a lot of teams and that luxury tax seems to be sort of like a no-go zone, OKC, those sort of lesser market teams. But if the Nets are contending for a championship and a top five team and top four team, you can make that money back with ticket sales and merchandising sales if you have Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant on the team.
Exactly. So I wouldn't be too concerned about it. Last time they had to pay the tax, they weren't actually a true contender. This time they actually will be.
Obviously, it depends on Kevin Durant when he gets back.
Yeah.
Chat for another day. Let's get into the nitty-gritty of it all.
All right. So we'll look at some possible acquisitions for each position. We'll start with point guard. I think this is pretty much obviously a two-man race between Kyrie Irving and D'Angelo Russell.
It's literally a two-man race. Kemba Walker's not in there. There are no other guys. There might be some lesser sort of guys in waiting in the wings as sort of backup, third sort of point guard sort of options. But, you know, we said earlier in the episode, you know, 18 to 20% that we see D'Angelo Russell, which means, I guess, we're about 80% on the likelihood that Kyrie Irving turned into a Brooklyn Net, which, I mean, we've spoken about at length. But, I mean, what is there more to say?
Yeah, I mean, it's exciting. And I think a lot of people, like, you'll look at it now and be a little upset because you have the taste of D'Angelo last year and Kyrie's last season and all the negative rumors being released about him via the Celtics, you know, isn't putting him in a positive light. But when you see Kyrie Irving put on a Nets uniform and drop 40 and break somebody's ankles, I think you'll feel pretty good.
And again, wearing the number two, hopefully.
Yeah, and wearing the number two, obviously, Brooks, our boy. And, you know, we talked about it, like you said, Jack. Backup options. We're looking for a third-string point guard, somebody on the cheap. You know, it would be close to a vet minimum or less than that. You know, you're thinking guys probably like a Devin Harris, a Shelvin Mack, maybe get lucky in a TJ McConnell, but nothing too crazy as your third-string point guard.
We spoke about it just before we recorded, Nick. Let's keep Shabazz Napier if that's the case.
Yeah, true. And the Nets are in a nice position because Caris LeVert can play point guard as well. So, like, you have a player that you could sub, and if there's an injury to Kyrie or Spencer Dinwiddie, you have another player that can take on the backup point guard duties.
Yeah, exactly.
So, shooting guard, you know, I don't think they'll be super active in shooting guard unless they don't land, you know, Kyrie and KD. Maybe the shooting guard they would look at would be somebody like a Jimmy Butler if that was, like, one of the backup plans.
Yeah, I mean, there's all these sort of like lesser sort of guys that you could talk about, you know, Rodney Magruder, Garrett Temple, these sort of vet guys that you sort of got to fill out the roster with that could add something, you know, and I think that, you know, it depends on obviously if we were to get Kyrie and or KD, but you look at those sort of vet options, guys that could fill out the roster a little bit, not necessarily take a massive sort of cap hold, but we'll keep an eye on those sort of guys. But I think that there'll be some veterans out there. You know, who knows if, you know, maybe a Jamal Crawford out for a vet minimum just to be a sort of locker room presence in a similar vein. If we were to lose, you know, Jared Dudley in free agency, I wouldn't hate that at a vet minimum. So, yeah, I think that the shooting guard position with Joe Harris there as well for next season too. I think JJ Redick is a name that I think has been gaining a little bit of clout. And obviously, I spoke about it a little bit on the free agency, on the rumors pod, that he has an established relationship with Kyrie Irving, the Duke connection. There's a relationship there. There's the respect level there. JJ is a vet now. Obviously, he'll be looking for this could probably be his last payday. You know, you spoke about, you know, before, Nick, that it'll be around once you sign those two guys. You know, how much space is there left available? Is there the tax mid-level, the non-tax mid-level? How much money extra? I think JJ Redick, and he lives in Brooklyn as well, so there's the ties there too. There was ties to him in the last offseason. You know, he obviously wants to be in a winning situation. You know, we've seen the behind-the-scenes videos before in relating to him. We know his wife wants him to play for Brooklyn. So who knows what could happen with him. And obviously, there's a lot of moving parts in Philadelphia that affect that too. But, you know, don't be surprised if you see JJ Redick gain some clout and free agency around the Brooklyn Nets.
Yeah, I could see if the Nets don't have, you know, they don't land Kyrie and KD, they have some extra money, they go after him. Or if they end up with the Kyrie Tobias Harris option and then they sign JJ Redick as somebody to possibly bring off the bench. I do think that his price tag might be a little high because so many teams in the league desperately need shooting that someone will probably overpay him because he's such an elite shooter still at his age.
I'll throw something at you, Nick. Who would you rather have, JJ Redick or Danny Green?
That's a really tough question. If I still have Joe Harris on roster, I think I'd rather have Danny Green because of his defense.
Okay, fair enough.
You know, and there's a fair case for JJ Redick, but I just think, you know, Joe Harris is a really, really good three-point shooter. Expect him to maybe get a little bit better this year too.
Yeah, and I mean, it was his age 34 season for JJ Redick, but he did put up a career high in points too.
Efficiency was a little down though.
Efficiency was a little down, but that was because he's like the only shooter for Philadelphia. Yeah. Whereas if you have JJ Redick and Joe Harris, I've said this before, boy, Nick, you love spacing, but that's just making spacing with a capital S P-A-C-I-N-G. It's Sunday morning here. I don't know.
No, I get what you're trying to say, Jack. Yeah, I agree. I think we saw it at times when Allen Crabbe was good for the Nets last season. Having Crabbe and Harris on the floor, it opened up a lot of things. I would just be scared about JJ Redick's defense, especially as he gets older. He's going to be less and less playable in clutch time minutes. And just to throw out a couple more cheap options, you mentioned some of them. Alex Abrines, if he comes back to basketball, would be an interesting guy. Nets love the international targets like that. Justin Holiday's been a guy that's obviously been solid, hasn't really developed his skills fully. Lane Seldon's another cheap option. You mentioned Magruder. Then obviously Nets fans would love to see Vince Carter play his last season in Brooklyn.
Oh, it'd be amazing. It'd be amazing.
And moving on to small forward, you know, this is pretty much a two-man race in terms of the number one targets, and that's Kevin Durant and Kawhi Leonard.
Oh, I thought you were going to mention some other guys. No, it's definitely Kevin Durant. Two best players in the NBA went on their day. Obviously, LeBron James is probably in that conversation too, but these two guys are at the superstar, the elite of the superstar echelon. And if we were to land one of these guys, then it would be an incredibly highly successful offseason. The Achilles injury obviously leaves you some sort of worries around that. The same thing, I guess, with Kawhi Leonard. How healthy can he be long-term? He's shown an ability to play through, you know, pain. Kevin Durant obviously has the relationships with our doctors too, out in Brooklyn. Kawhi Leonard has relationships with guys in Brooklyn as well. So the fact that we have the three, literally, I'm on Hoops Hype right now, Nick, and the number one, number two, number three free agents on the free agency list are all linked to the Brooklyn Nets. It's pretty fun.
Yeah, and two of them are, you know, quote unquote, a front runner for KD. And then it seems like the Kyrie thing is a lock in the eyes of a lot of people. A lot of NBA teams are operating as Kyrie's already in net. Obviously, the Kawhi mentions aren't as high, but it seems like there's a little bit of a buildup maybe coming. I don't know if you saw Thiago Splitter sent him cigars after winning the finals. So obviously trying to keep those relationships nice.
I mean, we got to leave Kawhi. Does he smile? I mean, he looks like a fun guy.
Yeah, he did. That was like the most you saw of Kawhi's like personality was the day after he won the finals. It's like he could finally feel relieved for the day. Then every picture I've seen after that, it seems like he's back in Kawhi mode.
It's Kawhi's season, ladies and gentlemen. But let him do his thing. Hopefully he's the Brooklyn Net. If Kevin Durant's the Brooklyn Net, if it's Kawhi Leonard, give me both. I don't know. Just blow it up and do something crazy. Sean, do your thing.
Yeah, do your thing, Sean. We'd be pretty happy about both. And then just cheap options, possibility to fill out the end of the roster if you're looking at, you know, we talked about Damari possibly being back, but likely getting more money. Somebody like a James Ennis would probably come cheap, or a I'm pulling a Corey right now. Exactly. So that would be definitely some of the options I think as cheap, but small forward's not really a need, even if they don't add one of these guys, because I think they're pretty high on Prince and Rodions.
And we have spoken about as well, Tobias Harris is probably that sort of number two option behind landing one of the big sort of fish. And we spoke
about. Would you consider him more of a power forward? Because I think I would.
I would. But I think that when you're talking about threes and fours these days, they're certainly interchangeable. And Tobias Harris can't play the four and five. So I consider him a three and a four. I think it's. And you play multiple positions in today's NBA, unless you are like a pure point guard or a pure center. If you're a shooting guard to power forward, to me, you can play, you know, both shooting guard, small forward, power forward. I think you have to be able to play more than one position in today's NBA. And that's what I think Tobias can. Like, he can play the three and the four.
Yeah, I think that's a fair point. I think Tobias definitely offensively has no issues playing small forward. I think laterally would probably be where he's a little bit better at the power forward defensively. But like you said, you're interchangeable, and a lot of times you're getting switched up on defensive assignments because of transition or just switches happening in the other team's offense.
Yeah, definitely. And there's a lot of guys out there that would probably fit around the sort of wings. You know, I'd like Terrence Ross as a shooting guard, sort of small forward sort of option, but I think that he'll be looking for a bit more money, and I don't think the Nets will be willing to offer it to him.
Yeah, I think Terrence Ross or like a Jeremy Lamb, they'll probably get a little bit more money. There's a couple other shooting guards that are interesting, but they're probably a little bit out of the Nets' price range. Maybe like one of the best ones, the closest that they could get with the $4 million would be like Wayne Ellington, but he came off a really nice year with Detroit, so he'll probably get more money. And shooting is just so valuable, and so many teams need it that teams are going to overpay for it.
Yeah, essentially.
Now, power forward, we mentioned Tobias. You know, he's kind of a any other power forward options you like? I think this would be a route the Nets would attack more if they missed out on KD or Kawhi.
It seems to me the position of need the most within the Brooklyn Nets organization, and the position that seems to get the most chatter on Twitter. I'll say the name that I don't want to, Julius Randle. Obviously, there's a lot of talk. We're the anti-Julius Randle podcast when it comes to acquiring him in free agency. I get what he can do. He can produce buckets. He can put up numbers. He's a good rebounder. And he's an okay passer, but he doesn't do it for, he doesn't impact winning. And that's what I've sort of said when we talked about D'Angelo Russell for long points before he sort of had his breakout moments and his extended period of success, he wasn't impacting winning. But we're to the point where it's like now he is a proven winner. He got us to the playoffs. Whereas I don't think Julius Randle is that sort of guy. You know, power forward sort of center, you know, Al Horford as well. I think that, you know, it seems to me that Dallas is getting a lot of traction. But, you know, I remember when Coy was putting out which team should he land on. I'm like, oh, I wouldn't mind him on the Brooklyn Nets if we were to strike out on Kevin Durant. But there's a lot of sort of guys, you know, Paul Millsap as well with the Denver Nuggets. Obviously, you know, he has that. It's a team option. So whether the Denver Nuggets want to bring him back, he'll be a nice fit on any sort of organization in a similar sort of way with Al Horford. And then there's sort of, you know, the lesser likes. You know, you're talking about, you know, your Nikola Mirotic, your Marcus and Markieff Morris sort of types. These sort of guys that can sort of fill out your roster, Al Farouq Aminu. And a guy who I like probably an even sort of cheaper range is a guy like Noah Vonleh. I remember talking about him in midpoints of the season. I'm like, I wouldn't mind trading for him or acquiring him in some sort of way because I really like his game and what he produced for the Knicks this season.
Yeah, honestly, I have a lot of the same options you have. You know, obviously, the dream scenario if you miss out on the other guys would be trying to convince Porzingis to come, but I don't think Dallas would give him up. You know, Millsap, I think the Denver's definitely going to not bring him back because I think it's like a $30 million team option. They could go after some guys and even try to re-sign him. One guy that I also like is Trey Lyles. I'm not really sure about his role moving forward with Denver. He didn't get playing time in the playoffs, kind of fits in that system a little bit. And pretty much everybody else you said, like I mentioned, Horford, Mirotic, Aminu, and then obviously possibility to bring back Jared Dudley, but he's probably not really going to play if he's brought back.
Yeah, essentially. And I think, you know, you talk about all these other sort of guys. It's not, despite the fact that it's a really top-heavy sort of free agency sort of list, guys that we haven't mentioned as shooters and defensive sort of guys, as shooting guys, just looking through the list because it's just such a large amount of players. A guy like Wesley Matthews or Reggie Bullock, but I think they're going to be wanting to get a little more money than the Nets will offer. But they will fit any sort of team that they go on because they can play defense and they can shoot a little bit.
Yeah, 100%. I think that's where it comes down to is like a lot of these guys, do they get contracts or are they waiting around and just trying to go to a winning situation for a year or two or something like that? And as the Nets sign the big stars, now people are willing to kind of take some of a pay cut, not only because they're playing with stars in a winning situation, but they're also living in a big market.
Actually, Jamichael Green, I'll throw his name into the list as well. I think that, you know, what he proves with the Clippers in the playoffs and what he's done for a large portion of his career in Memphis too. I think that he could be a nice fit on the Nets and other teams as well. I just like what he brings as a guy who can play the four and a little bit at the five. He could shoot, you know, not necessarily at an elite level, but a pretty competent level. And I mean, I think we'll probably get to the centers in a little bit, but, you know, he could certainly play the center position too.
Yeah, that's what I would like about Green or Vonleh is that they could play the four, but you also could play them as a small five. And Green is somebody the Nets were linked to when he was a free agent the last time when he, I think, signed a two-year deal with Memphis. So I wouldn't be surprised if they try to get him in there, and they could probably get him on a pretty cheap deal.
So you're telling me that the Nets aren't going to get Carmelo Anthony, Nick?
I don't think so, but hey, never know.
I mean,
what was Carmelo wearing? Did you see his last outfit?
Yeah, if the NBA turns into, you know, five guys versus chairs, then Carmelo Anthony's going to be dominating.
Yeah, he doesn't, I'm not even trying to throw shade, he doesn't look like he's in amazing basketball shape, still plenty of months of the season, but if I was picking somewhere with Carmelo, I think he's going to sign in LA.
And yeah, that seems the most likely thing, and obviously it'll be at some sort of vet minimum, but I love, he still has provided me with one of my best in-game moments, you know, in basketball history when I saw him, the Dwayne Wade goodbye game, the retirement game where he came on the court, took the dribble, was going to shoot, and then he didn't. It got the arena erupting, and the league will be better in some form or another, be it like for negative content or positive content with Carmelo Anthony in it, because we need more of the banana boat crew kicking around.
100%. I mean, you know, he still has some game and we'd like to see him maybe have a little bit more success before he has to retire and not go out the way that he did, because it'd be kind of sad after a really nice career for him. But getting to centers, you know, we don't think the Nets are going to go after any starting centers. It would be all backups. We kind of discussed Dwayne Dedman, DeAndre Jordan. Another guy I guess you could probably consider maybe a Robin Lopez. He might get a little bit more money though.
Yeah, and I think DeAndre Jordan has getting some stronger links probably because of his ties and relationship with Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. Would he be willing to take unders to play with those guys? I have no idea. Some other guys that you can maybe chuck into to the conversation, maybe like a guy like Rashawn Holmes, with the fact that the Phoenix Suns have now landed Aaron Baines.
True.
How many centers do they really need on the roster? Joakim Noah, I think, had a proven himself to be a productive sort of player and was pretty good with Memphis when he signed with them. I think he'd be a really good guy off the bench and a guy who could sort of, with you know the two young centers that we have, I think we would need that sort of veteran presence. I think Joakim Noah would be a perfect sort of fit there. But I think that he's more likely to head to a team like the Los Angeles Lakers. That's just the vibe that I sort of get. But I wouldn't hate Joakim Noah on my roster either, despite the fact that when we want to have shooting, you know, you don't want to necessarily have a guy like Joakim Noah out there. Amir Johnson is another sort of guy as a veteran backup. When he's not texting on the bench, you know, he can be a nice little option. Had to throw a little bit of shade at him because, you know, we were there for that sort of moment. But yeah, there's guys in terms of backup bigs, that sort of third big, or even just backup big in general. You know, I think that in terms of the Nets need to prioritize that because they saw in Ed Davis how much value it provided them having two bona fide centers. And I don't think you can necessarily head into next season having two bona fide centers that are a rookie and, you know, a guy with a rookie sort of body. They essentially have very similar games when it comes to especially their frame. You need a bit of bigness and toughness down there. And I mean, yes, aggression, we've spoken about it before, is overrated, but you need just someone with size at that five position. And I think some guys that we just spoke about there could help provide that. Does Zaza Pachulia fit that mold? I have no idea. I don't want him to. I would much rather have Joakim Noah, Rashawn Holmes, and these other sort of guys. Marcin Gortat, I have no idea. There's some guys on there, Greg Monroe, these sort of guys that I think can be some sort of service as a third big.
Yeah, you're looking, I think, for either, you know, a backup big. I think you need, like you said, a physical presence. It doesn't have to be anything crazy. It doesn't have to be super aggressive, but somebody who's 7 feet and can handle a body down low. Like, if you're trying to get through the East, you got to deal with Joel Embiid, and you need some options to throw at him. And if you're getting possibly a third big, too, I think it's the same thing. You're looking at some type of veteran. Hopefully nobody can mess up the locker room, but somebody who can bring a big presence to the court when needed, and you don't need to necessarily play them a lot.
Out of the names that we've said, Nick, who would you prioritize in that sort of stretch? Like Gortat, Noah, Kyler Quinn is another name that could be in that sort of range. And yeah, who do you sort of think fits that sort of mold? Nene?
Nene. I forgot about him, to be honest. I think he's still under contract with Houston. But Joakim Noah, I would be interested. But he said his biggest issue with the Knicks was the city, that he like couldn't contain himself.
Oh, God.
So I wouldn't be interested in that because it just feels like there's just issues with that. Some players just can't handle the city. You know, DeAndre Jordan, who you brought up, I think could be a really good option. In terms of the third center, man, just like a lot of those names all have like really, really like
– maybe give me some Kaminsky action.
Yeah, oh, God. I was on the one that said do not trade for Kaminsky. I mean, Dwayne Dedman would be more of a backup, and I'd really love him. Kevon Looney would be amazing, but I don't think they have the money for him. I would just kind of really hope to get like Robin Lopez. Like, yeah. I don't know if you can get him for a cheap tag, but if you can, like, do it up. And you mentioned Holmes as well. I thought Holmes played really well. And at times I felt like on the court he was almost better than having DeAndre Ayton because he could actually play defense and read the floor.
Yeah, and also another name in the wings who is probably another guy we can't get but had a really, really nice season with Dallas is a guy like Maxi Kleber.
Yeah, it would be a great fit for the system. Can shoot the three.
Obi. Everyone go see John Wick 3. He gets killed by a... I'm not going to spoil it, but he does get killed. Everyone, guys, that's his thing. But Boban, yeah. he kills in that role. And if he goes to Brooklyn, it can be a couple of short indie films as well, build up his sort of resume on that sort of end of the floor. And, you know, if we were to get Tobias Harris, Bobby and Toby action, bring it to Brooklyn.
If they were to get Tobias Harris, I mean, it's like almost two times as likely you'd have a chance at Boban because I feel like he just wants to be with him. Like...
Who wouldn't? Best friend. Like if we were to be together in the same city, I wouldn't want to leave it either.
Yeah, no, it's true. And they played pretty much their whole NBA career. I mean, Boban was in they were in their first stints alone, but then they got traded to Detroit. Then they went from Detroit to the Clippers, then to Philadelphia together. Why not stick together? Another center we didn't mention, but he is restricted. I'm not sure what offer would steal him away. I don't think you have to pay a ton. Jordan Bell.
Yeah, that's a name that I sort of saw. And I think that he would leave because I think I don't know how great his relationship is with a guy like Steve Kerr. But I think that to have three young up-and-coming centers it looks good on paper.
It's risky.
It is risky, like you said, Nick. And I think, you know, if you're wanting to challenge and be a top four team, you get KD, Kyrie, I think you can't necessarily take any risks, too many risks. So that's why, you know, you look at Dwayne Dedman, DeAndre Jordan, Rashawn Holmes to a lesser extent, you know, Robin Lopez, these sort of guys provide a bit more stability and just with their veteran sort of presence. So I wouldn't hate Jordan Bell on my team. I mean, if we were to sign him just as an acquisition, I would like it. You know, I spoke about Kevon Looney, the players, and I think that Jordan Bell is better than what he has shown on the Golden State Warriors. So if he were to leave Golden State, I think that that would be his best option to grow as a player.
Yeah, it's funny. Him and Pat McCaw, their rookie seasons were really good in Golden State, and then it's like they got worse the following season. So I don't know. It's something weird going on there. Obviously, it's a little hard to develop players when you're winning championships. Jack, we do have some questions on the last YouTube live show we just did. They said they missed the show and they wanted to see if we could answer this on the free agency pod. So it was, if Kyrie and KD come to Brooklyn together, who should the Nets target this upcoming season? Why KD rehabs? He votes for Danny Green in the mid-level exception. The Nets won't have the mid-level exception, so that kind of hurts their chances at getting Danny Green. But who would be some targets you'd be looking at? Pretty much all the cheap options we mentioned.
So it would be, would we have more than a veteran minimum?
So we'd have the room exception. So if you're a salary, if you have cap space, as soon as you use cap space, you only have the room exception. It's because you're operating as a team with cap space. And then if you're over the cap line, but not over the tax line, you get the non-taxpayer mid-level exception. Then if you're over the tax line, you get the taxpayer mid-level exception.
Yeah, I think a part of me would want to offer that money to a center. Guys that we literally just spoke about. You know, Dwayne Dedman, Robin Lopez, I think probably two prime candidates for that. And I think that you, maybe you want to target a power forward, but I think, you know, when we're if you're talking about like a guy like Marcus Morris, I think that he'd probably be willing to take, wanting to take a little bit more. And Jermichael Green as well. Just a role player who you know what you're going to get from him night to night in a similar vein to what we got from Ed Davis last season. I think the guys that we sort of spoke about a little bit sort of fit into that category too, but the names that sort of stick out, Jermichael Green, DeAndre Jordan, I don't think we'd be willing to take that little of money, maybe as a one-year sort of deal, and with the promise of getting a bit more in the next season. But Dwayne Dedman, obviously, he's done the phone symbol to us before, Nick. We've seen it in person. He didn't give me his number, so I couldn't necessarily text him about
it. You can't negotiate for the Nets here.
I'm negotiating for him, unfortunately. It's not tampering because I have no affiliation, despite that the Brooklyn Buzz is a very popular podcast. But yeah, I'd love to have one of the Morris brothers, probably preferably Marcus, Jermichael Green, or a Dwayne Dedman. Those would be my three guys. I don't know if we could get him for that little amount as well.
Yeah, you'd probably be more likely to get Markieff at that price because he had such a down year. Like I said, it'd be tough and you'd kind of just wait it out to see who's available after a lot of the guys signed the bigger deals.
And maybe even like just a shooter. I mean, I don't know if Seth Curry is willing to take unders again, but, you know, he proved that he can defend his brother. And, you know, if he can defend Steph Curry, one of the best point guards in the league, maybe he can defend some other sort of small point guards, which there are quite a large amount of them too. So, you know, you mentioned, you know, Justin Holiday as well. These sort of role players that you want consistency from, I think that's what you're looking for with that sort of little amount of money.
Yeah, I mean, maybe you could get Reggie Bullock for like $4 million. He had a really down year in the second part of the season with the Lakers. I think teams still might value him a little bit more, but you never know. I know the Nets, I think, had some ties with him around a traded line at some point because he is a good three-point shooter when he's knocking them down.
Actually, Noah Vonleh as well. We spoke about him a little bit. I really, really like him, despite the fact that he is young and, you know, we talked about consistency and veteran presence. I think Noah Vonleh has been around the league enough, despite the fact that he's only just 23 years old. He knows how to rebound the ball. He knows he's got some crafty little moves. He can shoot the three a little bit. And, you know, despite the fact that, you know, the Knicks, I don't know if they're willing, I don't know how often you would see the Knicks and the Nets sort of working out deals and sort of that team's changing in that sort of regard. But Noah Vonleh is another name that I'll chuck in there too.
Yeah, and I think you could get him cheap. I mean, he had a good year, but I still think teams will be a little bit wary about kind of throwing him big money because it was on the Knicks who had a really bad year. And Crimson Striker still has a couple thoughts. Kyrie comes by himself, in which who would the Nets pair with him? We kind of mentioned that on the last show. It'd probably be Tobias Harris and some other guys that fill out the roster. And then the third scenario that he mentioned would be if the Nets whiff on all free agents in terms of Kyrie and KD and just bring back D'Angelo Russell, what should they do with their cap space?
Do we sign Tobias Harris? Is that the sort of go-to? I mean, because next year's free agency class isn't amazing. Do you take on more bad contracts? I don't think you do. So I think that Tobias Harris seems a likely sort of option. But then it also, leaves room to get some other guys that we sort of spoke about who are more in that sort of mid-level range that we sort of chatted about. Guys like Danny Green, guys like JJ Redick, these sort of guys that can add a little bit of value to your team in a lot of different ways. Do we re-sign an Ed Davis if that's sort of the case? I think that there's a likelihood with that. You can add plenty of value still with that sort of money, that mid-level sort of money around that range. You know, can you target some other guys? I'm trying to think of some other guys. Nikola Vucevic. I mean, I think he'd probably want a little bit more money, but I know that the Celtics have been linked to him too. Al-Farouq Aminu, these sort of guys that can add something to your team. Maybe even a Thaddeus Young. Does he make his way back to Brooklyn? There's some names around there that, and I think you probably have a little bit more money to maybe even target Nikola Mirotic too. Obviously, there's the fact that the Nets should get better in some stretch of the imagination because of the amount of money that they have. I don't see Sean Marks as a guy storing another massive offer sheet and a restricted free agent, but I think he'll get some money, and I don't think he'll do overs. I think he'll probably have learned his lesson from the Alan Crabb scenario in terms of just falling in love with the guy. I think that he's a bit more measured these days, but you know, other than throwing massive money the way of the big guys, Kawhi, KD, and Kyrie, you know, there's plenty of sort of mid-range guys that you can sort of get around the wings.
Yeah, and I think in those situations, you know, Sean Marks really didn't have a choice. He just needed to try to acquire talent, and the only way he could would be overpaying. So if the Nets were to just retain D'Angelo Russell, they could wait to sign his deal, so they'd have $48 million to play with. You could sign Tobias Harris. We mentioned a number around like $24 million for him. You'd still have $24 million to play with, possibly enough to even sign somebody like an Al Horford or one of these fringe all-star level type players. So your options would still be open. That's why I'm not really nervous if Kyrie and KD don't sign or Kawhi doesn't sign. There's still a lot of different options to improve this team and be better going into next season.
Yeah, the Nets will be better next season in some form, obviously, because we're such a young team with the nucleus that we have currently. It just depends on the route that happens with free agency and who we sign, who we don't sign. But, you know, it's by the time this comes out, it'll only be a couple of days away until the reality is upon us and free agency kicks off and the Nets are a completely different organization heading into 2019-20.
100%, Jack, spot on as always. Always a pleasure talking Nets with you. Thank everybody for listening. Check us out, iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, OTGBasketball.com, NetsRepublic.com, Dash Radio, YouTube, and Google Play. Like Jack hinted at earlier, we'll be dropping a lot of shows, especially if the Nets sign some of these big-time stars, which it looks like is a real possibility.